Let's see.
Should I take it?
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win. And the others too.
In a world filled with chaos where the dreamers struggle to find their way, there is a light. In an industry riddled with sacrifice and self-doubt, there is a voice. At a time when we need one another more than ever, there is hope. Houston, we have a program.
Welcome to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio, and we are using Squadcast, the number one remote recording platform. Well, today we've got a treat for you. Behind the scenes, before we started the interview, we are in the green room, myself, Cracky Mule Train, my distinguished co-host, Mark Gordon, the owner of Seattle Wave Radio, and Robert Henry. And although this is a podcast, so you can't see anything, we all decided that our guest today, Robert Henry, he is the looks like a younger Eddie Vedder, but sounds like a Johnny Cash guy. So, and if you, when you're done listening to this interview, you need to go to all of his platforms and check him out because we're going to have a lot of fun today. But this guy is truly, he is the one guy that has brought me back to wanting to listen to old style country. Because as you know, my wife is a country artist as well. And I normally like the newer stuff, the rock stuff. But after listening to Robert Henry stuff a couple times, I'm on board. So, and it's all real country today. So without further ado, today's guest on Houston is Robert Henry. His CD In the Works mirrors his musical journey to this point. At age 14, Robert learned to play guitar in his first band, Bigger Trigger, where he discovered his initial passion for music through heavy metal. Fast forwarding to today, Robert says, quote, "Somewhere along the way, my voice changed and it got a lot easier to sing all the traditional country music my parents raised me on," end quote. Please join me in welcoming this cowboy hat wearing, guitar slinging, Johnny Cash sounding, geographical jumping singer-songwriter to Houston, Mr. Robert Henry.
Yay!
Yay!
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We're happy, man. Hey, before we get into letting people know about you and finding out, like Barbara Walters would say, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Man, I obviously follow you and try to like and make comments on all your posts. This COVID thing's been going on. I see you're still out there doing your thing. Talk about that. What's this COVID thing done to you and your brand?
We've definitely had to shift a lot of stuff around. A lot more live streams instead of live shows, especially being out here on the West Coast. Pretty much all the coastal states, as you guys know, have pretty much banded together and said what one does, all of them are going to do. So it's been pretty tight here, but we were actually lucky enough to be able to tour a little bit this summer. We got to go to South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, all the places that are pretty sparsely populated and really are acting as though nothing's going on. So we were very blessed. I mean, we were as safe as we could be given the circumstances, but after 6 months of not playing a live show, we finally were just like, you know what, if certain places are going to let us work, we got to get back to work because this is what we do.
Bravo, man.
I'd love that he just didn't sit on his ass either with the songwriting. He wrote a song about this particular time in the works. I think it sums it up pretty nicely. But yeah, talk about some of that, what inspired that song.
Well, first thing I'm going to say about that song is that I hope it doesn't age well, because I'm so sick of this. But I just wrote what I was feeling at the time. And, you know, I wrote it like the first week of June. So you had a lot of social strife going on, a lot of racial tension, all that stuff. I don't hit on that like word for word in the song, but I definitely allude to it. And it's not only about how much it sucks to be a musician during a pandemic. It kind of resolves at the point where, you know, none of this should be political, and we got to come together so we can all get back to work. So I kind of tried to tie it in a nice little knot there at the end.
I love that. It sums up the year perfectly, and it does. It kind of highlights what should be important right now so we can get back to living. Because it was that point, you said June, that's interesting to me, because that's about when all of a sudden you realized, all right, this isn't going away as quickly as we thought it would be.
Yeah.
Now we got, like you said, come together and figure this out.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it's brilliant that you wrote it, Robert. And I think that the fact that you made it more about the emotions instead of tying it into all the politics and the divisiveness, because there's plenty of that out there right now. And I know it's hard, man. I mean, I'm an artist like yourself and obviously surrounded by them. But the fact that you're authentic and you write what's on your heart, that's what true artists do. You know, that's what, you know, when you look at the Robert Henry brand, whether it's on your Facebook post or whether it's in your bio or whatever, you put real country and you put this and that. And it harkens back to a time, you know, you walk that talk, brother. It harkens back to a time where artists, not just country artists, but because we're talking about country today, where country artists tell stories, and you do it from a good place, you know, just what you're going through, but it's going to resonate with other people, man. And you're, whether you know it or not, your words in this tough time you're going through, it's good that you're experiencing. It's not good that there's a pandemic, but it's good that you're experiencing it and you're doing something. You're making a difference. I guarantee it. The amount of people who hear what you're doing, you just don't know, because people are afraid to engage because they're so, they don't know. So bravo for doing what you're doing and for doing it. Like you said, 6 months of not playing, we got to get back to work. You know, it's not a choice for you.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. So let's backpedal just a hair, because I want people out there, they're going to hear about you and what you're doing and hopefully get turned on to your music quickly. So in your bio, it talks about playing guitar at 14. What was your first guitar? Do you remember? Was it an acoustic? Was it an electric?
It was an acoustic. It was a Canadian-made guitar. I believe the make was a Art and Luthier, kind of like a mid-range starter guitar. But yeah, I ended up losing that one at a party sometime. I don't know. I think I was outside playing guitar after a few beers, and I think I might have been the reason that the neighbors called the cops, and this was years ago. Anyways, I split out when the cops showed up, and I came back the next morning for my guitar, and someone had done something with it, but it wasn't at the house anymore.
Have you ever written a song about that?
No, I haven't told that story in years. I haven't even thought about that guitar.
Robert, damn you, man. First of all, the last time you and I met, which I think was only the only time we ever met, we talked about a whiskey, which we haven't done. So A, we got to do that. But so you just said, I think I might've been the reason why the neighbors called the cops. Are you kidding me? You talk about real country. Tell me that, guys, tell me that's not a great lyric in a song.
Totally. If he doesn't use it, you should steal it.
I'm not a country singer. I've literally been banned from singing country. So Robert, we're gonna count on you. The only thing is of course, you know, Cracky, Mark and I, because we helped you point that out to you. So it's going to be 20% a piece, but
there you go.
I'm kidding. That's real country right there. So when you first started playing, obviously I believe you said, I think 4 of the 6 members in your family are musicians as well. I really don't know even where to begin, because you started out listening to heavy metal doing heavy metal, but then you kind of harken back to what your parents introduced you to. So in the beginning when you were first playing, what was your first, was it Metallica? I mean, who was it? Who was your, like the first kind of inspiration that got you playing?
I really liked Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, nice. all the classic heavy metal stuff. And then I kind of, once I got super into it, it's like a, you know, those are like the gateway drugs. And then you end up listening to bands like Slayer and Testament and Pantera and all the heavier stuff. Even to the underground metal of today. I still listen to metal. My drummer from the band that we had in high school is my drummer now. So
yeah,
we still get together. In fact, I was hanging out with him last night and we were jamming on some thrash metal, listening to some Exodus and Overkill and Testament and all that. So
nice.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff. Have you ever thought about doing a, taking one of those songs and doing a country version of it?
The idea has come up. Yeah. We haven't quite figured out how to translate it, but yeah, we've thought about it for sure.
All those bands you named are great. Just, I don't think Turbo by Priest would work, but Run to the Hills, might be kind of cool, especially with your voice. It's so low. It'd be like Run to the, you know.
We've actually thought about doing like in a live show, doing like a breakdown in the middle of our set and going into some Metallica or Iron Maiden or something like that. It'd be kind of fun just to throw it out there.
Well, it's part of who you are, man. And I would, my favorite band in the world. I mean, I listen to every kind of music but it's Pink Floyd, but my favorite, and I've seen Pink Floyd live, but my favorite concert ever was Zac Brown. And, in the middle, so number one, they opened up their show with Sandman. Zac Brown. They entered, nice. Opened up their show with Sandman. And then the encore, they came out in these black suits with this skeleton paint that was luminescent, and they played Bohemian Rhapsody. But what the hell does that have to do with what we're talking about? In the middle of their show, man, they're kicking ass. They all walk up with acoustic instruments and they sit right in the middle of the catwalk. And they pulled out some Guns N' Roses and they did it acoustically. And the audience freaking loved it. And it sounds nothing like anything Zac Brown does, but because you and him have that in common. He's got that really hardcore rock metal kind of thing. And he brought that to his people. And I'm telling you what, everybody in that audience was singing along. So I would say do it. That's badass, man. I think people would really, really resonate with that. And that's the fact, I mean, and it's not a hard call. It's part of who you are. So that's cool. I just thought going through learning about you, that was kind of a cool thing. So metal to country. How did, that's a bit, man, that's a big transition. How did some girl break your heart? What happened?
It really was just, I grew up with the classic country stuff from my parents, and not only the classic stuff, but you know, being born in 92 and being a young kid through the 90s, I mean, there were guys on the radio like Alan Jackson, Clint Black, Brooks and Dunn, Garth Brooks, all those dudes. It was kind of like that last generation of country before it completely went down the toilet. But I just, so what happened was, I went to Catholic school when I was a kid, and you couldn't have your hair a certain length. You had to wear a uniform. You had to do this. You had to do that. And it was really arbitrary. I look back on it now and I know what they were trying to instill in us as a more mature human, but I didn't get it. And I just wanted to just give the finger to everybody at the time. So I got out of parochial school and I went to public high school, where I could wear whatever I wanted and listen to whatever I wanted and I could just do whatever. And I was like, I'm going to go to the extreme, like what's the craziest type of music that I can listen to. So I would just heavy metal. So, and I grew my hair and I had my rebellious phase. And then, my voice kind of finished up changing and it was really deep. And I started singing. I tried to sing for Bigger Trigger. It didn't really work out. I can't really sing like Rob Halford. But I started doing some vocals on some classic country stuff, like the stuff that I grew up with, and I was pretty good at it. So I just stuck with that, and I got really into that. So
excellent. I think that's a pretty good thing. And thank you for sharing that. You know, the whole parochial school thing with us. I mean, man, the more we get into this, you've got a great story, man. You've got a great story. People, hey, and I know you know this. We talk about this all the time. But it's like when we were talking to Jennifer from Diamonds and Whiskey, it's like some of the stuff she was talking about wanting to, if she wasn't, she's like, if I wasn't a country singer, I'd be a backhoe driver. And we're like, what? But it's like, people think that, you know, like guys like yourself, you know, whether you're country or rock, you're rock stars. Oh, that's all they do. They, you know, they drink and they write music and they get up on stage and do whatever, but there's so much behind the scenes. And it's just cool, man. It helps people resonate with you. So thanks for sharing that. So now that you're into the country world, I basically see that you, so a lot of the influences you draw from are honky tonk forebears like Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, George Jones, Waylon Jennings. What is it exactly about those cats that make you draw, you know, your inspiration from? What do they have something in common, or is it something different from each one of them?
Both, really. They have in common that the music is just honest. I mean, the all guys that just wrote what they were feeling at any given time. Buck Owens' songs are all kind of hokey, but he had like one of the best bands of all time. But I mean, guys like Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, I mean, you go deeper into their catalog besides songs like The Good Old Boys and Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Eat Cowboys, which in its own is a beautifully written song. But you really delve into those guys' catalogs, and there's some beautifully written music. I mean, just great stories. You know, Merle Haggard with his, you know, his parents came from Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl. And, you know, he grew up in Bakersfield. And, you know, not only was an outsider in Southern California because he was, you know, not really from there, but was also an outsider in country music because he wasn't from Nashville, and he was doing his stuff in Bakersfield with Buck and Wynn Stewart and the Maddox brothers and all those guys that had their own scene out there. So I really lost where I was going with this, but the honesty of the music is really what draws me to it. The songwriting, and, you know, as I've gotten further into country music and exploring avenues of like Western swing and stuff from the '40s, like Bob Wills and stuff, the intricacy of the music, the further you go down the rabbit hole, is amazing to me, and how it's such a mix of jazz and blues and you know, Scots-Irish folk songs. And I just love it, man. I'm a nerd. I'm a history nerd too. So I like to tie in the stories in my mind, like what was going on the timeline of the world when the music was being made too. So.
Well, that's cool, man. You give our future generation hope, because you are a young cat. And the fact that you're so passionate about that is great. And just because the timing of this, one of the names I didn't mention, but I'm curious, as we just lost a great country artist, Charlie Pride.
Yep.
You said something in one of your in what you were just talking about how, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but the it was kind of on the outs with the country world. And, you know, Charlie Pride had kind of an interesting introduction, if you will, because, I mean, if I remember correctly, I mean, I think one of the first times that he came out on stage and people actually saw who was singing those songs, people left. And it's super, super sad. It was a completely different time that none of us can really speak to, because we weren't living during those times. But was Charlie, was he one of the cats that's in your inspiration?
Absolutely. Does my ring hurt your finger when you go out at night? How can you not love that? And he broke down a lot of barriers. You got to keep in mind, when he was coming out, I believe he released his first record sometime in the mid to late 60s. And it wasn't until the early 60s that the Grand Ole Opry even allowed drums on the stage.
Yeah, did not know that.
It was considered to be an African American thing to have percussion, and the Opry didn't want that on the stage. It was during segregation. It was, you know, obviously that area of the country has a long history with that. You know, a place like Nashville, they considered themselves the Athens of the South back in the day, and it was a place where a lot of even up till the turn of the century, a lot of Civil War veterans would congregate there and have their, in fact, the Ryman Auditorium was used several times for reunions of the the war veterans of the Western theater. So it was very ingrained. And yeah, I don't remember where he was, but I think you can find the video on YouTube where they introduce him and the lights come on and everybody's clapping because they had heard his music on the radio, but they did not know that he was black. And then the lights come on and this slowly, it just goes dead quiet. And everybody just, you could hear a pin drop. And then he starts singing and people get back into it because at the end of the day, I mean, that attitude about race is taught. It's not ingrained in who we are. So, and that's why music is so freaking awesome because it brings people together. So.
Excellent. You've
R.I.P.
used that.
Charlie Pride.
Yeah, there we go. R.I.P. Charlie Pride. You know, you've used that word at the beginning of the interview, together, and you just use it again, together, and it just keeps coming back to that. So, and speaking of this, I mean, it's obvious to me, and I'm sure the fellas here in the room with you, and our listeners, that you are super, it's super important to you, you know, the storytelling, the real country music. Do you mind if I want to share a quote that's specifically about how you feel about country music today? Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Cool. And because if not, you can, I mean, you live right down the road for me in Oregon. So, your publicist told me you do own a shotgun. So I want to be careful. All right. So as we talked about earlier, Robert, you being a country music artist, and it's real important to you that it's, you know, it's real, it's storytelling, it's authentic. So I quote from Robert, quote, "I don't know if you've listened to country music and radio lately, but there's not a whole lot of country music on it," end quote. So I don't look at that as I don't look at that as a negative statement. I look at that as an artist's reflection on how he feels about his specific genre. When you say something like that, what do you mean by that?
I'm not going to pretend that I'm the all-knowing authority on what is and what is not country music, because it means something different to everybody. But I do know that you know it when you hear it, no matter who you are. And all you have to do is listen to know that that ain't it. It's just not the same thing. It's overproduced. They have a formula. It's just another form of pop music. It's pop with a Southern accent. You know, you got your truck, you got your girl, you got your case of beer, you got your short shorts. You might be going through a breakup. It's just the same crap over and over and over again. And I want to be told a new story. You know what I mean?
So yeah, no, I do. And that's why I say is the reason I wanted to bring this up is not to go, oh, look what Robert Henry said, or to embarrass you, is actually to shine the light on grace that what people say sometimes, there's something behind it. And I read that, and I've also met you, and I you're a very approachable, you're a super sweet guy. So I knew that, you know, you're not this negative guy, but you're basically saying it's kind of gone away from the storytelling and the authenticity of who those people are at that time to more of a corporate America, right? You know, like when you say formula, our listeners who aren't musicians might think, well, what do you mean formula? Well, formula, and what I think what you're talking about means 3:30, and now the songs are even shorter, you know, so that the radio stations will play it, so the ads will get bought, so, you know, this and whatever. And there's so much focus. There's more. So what you're saying is there's more focus on it fitting into a formula versus telling the story of what's going on in that snapshot in time. Did I get that right?
Yeah. And if all the Clear Channel mainstream FM country stations cared about truly the best country music being played today, or being made today, rather, none of the songs that are on the top 40 would be on the top 40, because all you got to do is scratch the surface just a little bit, and there's a freaking gold mine of guys that are making amazing country music, relevant country music, stuff that gets Absolutely. You thinking, not just mindless garbage that, oh, I just don't even get me started, man.
No problem. No problem. Well, here's the beautiful thing.
One more thing.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
At some point, they decided in Nashville that they were going to turn away from the blue collar, middle-aged male audience that was always their bread and butter, and start marketing to 13-year-old girls. And they're the trendsetters. I get it. They got to make money. But that's where the change came. It became more bubblegum and more bubblegum and more bubblegum. Because at that age, when you're young like that, you don't care about the lyrics really. You just want to have a good beat.
Sure. Something catchy to sing along with. And
the right look. It's like everybody's got to have the right look and the right. I was excited about this week truly because I enjoy all the artists we bring in here. But there's some that are definitely more in my wheelhouse than others. And I love this kind of stuff. And yeah, I haven't listened to country music as it's defined today in the mainstream in years or ages. And I keep going to the older stuff or some of that alt country stuff that they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
That's more rootsy. And that, I mean, Dave Alvin is one of my heroes. I never miss him when he's in town.
Yeah.
So like you said, there's guys out there still doing it who are the real deal that you can get excited about that. And I sense that in your music as well. And when Ray asked you about that quote, you know, just to clarify, I was just hoping you were going to double down on it. And you did. You were still politically correct, but yeah, you did. I mean, you should buy it and you should, because yeah, there's definitely an element missing what people are calling country today.
Yeah. And I applaud you for standing your ground, man. I mean, and I wasn't kidding when I said, Robert, listening to your music, because before I married Jessica, when we first met, I was like, are you kidding me? A country artist? I just wasn't a big country person. And it's because of what you said about just, it's like, it's all bubblegum, it's belt buckle whiskey, dog named Chuck, you know, and just like, are you kidding me? And then when I got open, because she's very similar in the way that she writes, very authentic, like you do, and Diamonds and Whiskey, and a lot of the people who are on the stable, and then other people you've met. I'm actually have bought some older country because of In the Works, because of you. And so you opened my mind up to that, because I've always been, being a keyboard player, I've always been more of a music guy and whatever. And so, and I'm not even kidding, man. I literally am like, wow, okay, 53 years old. I'm opening myself up to this and I get it. And I hope that the rest of the world sees in you, because you have something, you're standing your ground. You've got a voice. You've got the look. You don't look like your voice at all. You put all that together, dude, you should be a huge, huge country star. And just stay the course, do the work, and you'll get there. And so people can hear what the hell we're talking about. We're going to listen to a song now. We're doing all this talking, which is great. But so there's a cool story with Storm the Gate. We're going to play Storm the Gate in a second. But why don't you set this up for us? Why don't you, before we listen to this, why don't you tell our audience about Storm the Gate?
Well, first of all, I was going to hit on that right before you said it. Jessica is a hell of a songwriter. I enjoy her stuff. I've enjoyed doing the songwriters rounds with her too. And she's one of the good ones as far as being honest. So I wanted to say that.
I'll tell you, she said that.
All right.
I'll tell her you said that.
So Storm the Gate, I wrote this one in May of 2019. I was down in Nashville recording some stuff. And the record producer kept talking about the gatekeepers. We got to get the songs past the gatekeepers if you want to get them on the radio. And obviously he didn't do his research on me before going and working with me, because if, you know, a couple clicks on the computer, just a quick Google search, you'll know that I'm not really interested in pandering to the confines of terrestrial radio. But anyways, he was really worried about, you know, you got to record certain songs a certain way. You know, if you just get one song, then you can get your foot in the door. And I'm like, no, I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't know if you listen to country radio. Again, this is the story I tell, but there's not a lot of country music left on country radio. And who the hell are the gatekeepers? It's time to storm the gate. So yeah, we were sitting down writing songs. He left. We had kind of decided what I was going to record the next day. We were doing the session in the morning, and I wasn't really happy with the songs that we had chosen. And so I wrote that, and then I played it for him the next morning, and he said, all right, man, let's go cut that.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, you heard it out there, you Houstonites. And so right now we're going to go to Robert Henry's song, Storm the Gate. And this is brought to you exclusively by Seattle Wave Radio and using Squadcast, the number one remote recording platform. This is Storm the Gate.
Gatekeeper, gatekeeper, why won't you let me in? Why don't you like my songs that sound like misery and gin? I came to Music City with a twinkle in my eye. Is there really no more room left for a simple, honest rhyme? Simple, honest rhyme. They've torn down and paved over all the roots that run so deep. Don't that make it kinda hard to grow? Gatekeeper, I don't wanna sing them songs I love to hate. Time to storm the gate. Time to storm the gate. Sitting here on Music Row with a guitar in my hand. They say, now son, there's just some things that you don't understand. We wanna pitch you songs we think will sell. If you compromise just a little bit, then we'll all get paid well. But I don't think Buck done 'em this way. And I don't think Waylon done 'em this way. I'll be damned if Hank done 'em this way. They've torn down and paved over all the roots that run so deep. Don't that make it kinda hard to grow? Gatekeeper, I don't wanna sing them songs I love to hate. Time to storm the gate. So gather up and tell the casters, boys, it's time to make a stand. I'm thunder with my vocals and I'm lightning with my hand. I'm the only one who's in control of my own fate. Time to storm the gate. Time to storm the gate. Gatekeeper, gatekeeper, why won't you let me in?
Hey, this is Travis Larson, and you're listening to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. By the way, the music is provided by Travis Larson Band, oddly enough.
And welcome back to Houston, exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio. We took a break and we shot some whiskey behind the scenes. And you still with us, Robert?
I'm still with you.
Right. Did you see that? Show that again, Cracky.
Yeah. I've right been seeing him sipping. Yeah. Yeah.
I come prepared for these sessions.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I might have to go grab a beer here. If that's allowed.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, seriously. So people out there who are listening. So what we just showed is right now the four of us are on a screen. We're doing this on a video screen, but you're only hearing the audio. Cracky just showed his glass of whiskey. Robert, if you'd like to go get a beer, man, we'll take a break and we'll talk about you while you're gone. If you want to go grab a beer, we're all for that.
Yeah. Just don't say anything bad.
All right. Go grab a beer. So for those of you out there, only on Houston will you hear us tell our guest to go get a beer. That's badass. Right.
We have to guess. What kind of beer is he going to come back with?
I'm going to say, no, he's country. So he's Budweiser.
Coors Light.
All right. And if who? What is the loser or the winner?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I should give them more credit than Coors Light. They're not a sponsor of the show, are they?
No. But no, the thing I'd love to say a craft beer, but the problem is
he's in Oregon.
Yeah, he's in Oregon. So So it could be if it was whiskey, I'd say Pendleton, because that's Pendleton, Oregon. Well, that's a Canadian.
What's gonna make that great porter out there from Oregon?
Obsidian. Oh, he's back, and let's see if one of us won.
All right.
Okay. For those of you listening, only on Houston. We basically allowed our guests to allowed, right? He's like, what? Cracky's got a whiskey. I'm going to go get a beer. And just so you know, Robert, before you tell us what beer it is, Cracky won.
Yes, before it's light.
Yes, Cracky won. Okay, Cracky, we'll figure it out. We guessed which beer it was going to be. But so when we had Evan Hutchings on our last episode, he's a Nashville studio drummer. For those of you, if you want to hear that interview, you just go back in Houston. You can check it out. But he was drinking a beer, too. Yeah. So
what were your guesses out of curiosity?
I said Budweiser. Cracky said Coors Light. Yeah. And then we were like, wait, he's in Oregon. I'm like, yeah. The thing is, you know, you keep talking about authentic country and whatever. It's like, ain't no authentic country artist going to pull up like an Obsidian Stout or something like that.
Hey, I am an Oregon boy, though. I like good beer. But as far as just casually having one, Coors Light is tried and true. I'm a simple guy. I like Rolling Rock. I used to drink Coors Original, but then I started getting a little bit of a gut. So I switched to Coors Light.
There you go. All right. So back to your song. So Storm the Great, man, you have a Jesus, man. Your voice is deep and just resonates with you. Your band is badass. You got some great pickers. Why don't we take a moment to show some love to those badass pickers you got in your band?
Yeah. So full disclosure, that particular track was recorded with the studio band before I had this iteration of the band together. But I think the rest of the EP was my live band. So yeah, we've got Bob Littleton on pedal steel guitar, gives us that classic kind of twangy sound. We got Justin Lewis on the lead guitar on the Telecaster. Really good country guitar player, influenced by Don Rich, Roy Nichols, like kind of that Bakersfield, really twangy, high-end, trebly Telecaster. We got Jake Morrow on the drums. Which again, he came up through the music ranks with me and played in several different bands together. Had the metal band when we were younger. He's like a human metronome. He's awesome. And nice. Then we got Jim Lowell's on the bass guitar, and he is he's funny. He's actually a native guy. He's Cherokee and Blackfoot. And every time he gets on stage with us, he goes, "Well, I always wanted to play Cowboys and Indians."
Oh jeez!
He's a hell of a bass player. He's played everything from rock to metal to jazz to everything in between, and he's another old timer like Bob, our pedal steel player. And it's good to have that wealth of knowledge and experience on the stage with us. So
nice. And I'm assuming all these guys feel the same way as you do about, as you say, real country music.
Yeah, yeah, especially. Bob and Justin really has a passion for just traditional country music. So I got a good group of guys.
Nice. And
Robert can pick a guitar too, man. If you go on YouTube, he's got some good clips up there. There's an acoustic one, I think, did something better. And it's just Robert sitting on a fence, man, picking the guitar and busting it out. Real cool tune. You can hold your own on a guitar as well. So yeah, check those out.
Nice. What was that song again, Cracky? I don't think I've seen that one.
Something Better.
Something Better. Cool. Excellent. Yeah. So see, Robert, this interview is a little bit longer than most, but we want people to, if people really care, they're going to get into this thing and they're going to find out about you, because who you are behind the scenes is actually truly who you are on stage. It's pretty cool. You don't see that all the time. A lot of times it's a facade. But now, I know you said, you know, you started doing more of the country when your voice, you know, kind of set into place, if you will. But have you always, since that happened, is your voice always been that low and deep? Have you always sung in that range? Or is that something you just kind of fell into?
I pretty much always sang in that range. In the past year and a half or so, I've expanded it a little bit. One good thing that did come out of that Nashville session, along with Storm the Gate, was I tried some different songs in some different keys. Even though, you know, some of the songs from that session didn't end up making it just because stylistically they weren't where I wanted to go, they did kind of broaden my vocal range a little bit. And it's not that I couldn't do it. I just had to build the confidence up to be able to hit some of those notes. I mean, I think that kind of shows through on the EP on a couple of the songs. I really kind of let my voice loose.
Excellent. I think that that's how we grow as artists, right? Is experimenting. And you know, it doesn't mean it's always going to work. I mean, that's the thing. I think where a lot of artists fall into traps is it's like they want to sing, you know, they want to write stuff like their heroes. They want to sing songs that they love. And then they try to do it in the original key. I mean, trust me, man, I've been doing this a long time. And back in the day, it's like we couldn't sing. We'd do songs and struggle with the vocals. And no one ever said, hey, did you ever try changing that key? You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah, no, especially when I was playing by myself, too. Especially, I used to do just little bar gigs just with my acoustic in the corner when I was first starting out. And the capo was my best freaking friend, man.
Right.
Just because of my range, like, you know, a lot of those old Hank Williams songs. I'm not necessarily a very good yodeler. Like, I don't have that high register as much as he does. Capo it and move along and make it your own.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about being a keyboard player, brother. There's this little key. It's called transpose. So, but I that helps. I mean, a long time ago, I had to learn how to play in every key. But when you're like trying a song and you just, you know, can, whether it's a capo or whatever, that's cool though. So for the artists out there who are upcoming or who have been doing it for a long time and have never been told this, is hey, try changing the key. It's a real thing, because that way, you know, if it's natural for you, then it's going to be natural for the listener as well. Okay, so we always do this. It's kind of a corny thing, but like I said, we want people to know about you. So we're going to do this real quick, just kind of, you cannot think. So take another swig of your beer. Robert's like, son of a bitch, this guy's bossy. This guy's bossy. Going to get it. Paige and my wife are going to get texts. Hey, you really should control this guy of yours. Okay, Robert, so these are some dumb questions, but again, we want to let people know behind the scenes some of the minutia about the Robert Henry. So, favorite food?
My mom's fried chicken.
Ah, and just so you know, while you were gone, because our audience won't hear any difference because we edited this out, but Cracky and I, we had a little vote off about like what beer you were going to bring back. And what did I say, Cracky?
Fried chicken, man. It's tied That's up 1-1. Right. One, one.
So it's 1-1. Yep. One, one. All right, okay. Favorite Pink Floyd song?
Brick in the Wall.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
The reason that's my favorite is because I saw Roger Waters with his band do The Wall all the way through live. Right. And it was just so cool hearing that song. And then they brought like the Portland youth choir out to do the end part.
Oh, really? We don't.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then, of course, like the whole show is like they're building the wall up and then they tear it down in the second half. And yeah, it was freaking awesome.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Cracky, it's called The Wall, for Christ's sake. So I saw, Robert, I saw that same concert in Seattle with him. And that's when I stopped being a David Gilmour snob, because I was like, okay, I see. I get it. All right. Favorite thing to do when you're not playing music? What do you do when you're not doing music, man?
I don't know. Being in Oregon, when the weather's nice, I like to go out and fish and shoot guns and hunt and camp and stuff. Outdoors. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Very cool. So like I said, you're living the country dream, man. I mean, you know, exactly. All right. So whiskey or beer?
Beer all the way.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, when we get you up here one of these days, you know, we have a bar in our house now. And we have some beer in the fridge, and it's actually Coors, but we also have some whiskey. So you promise me you'll do a whiskey with me. Oh, we'll make it.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll do whiskey. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool. Okay. What is last question? What is something about yourself besides the whole starting out with heavy metal that would surprise most people about you?
I don't know if this is really a surprise. I think some of it shows through in my music a little bit, but I'm really big into history, American history in particular, from the Revolution all the way up to present day. I just really like that stuff. I know my mom's family goes back all the way to the late 1600s in the Mohawk Valley in central New York. They fought in the Revolution, the War of 1812. I have relatives on both sides of the Civil War, so I'm just really I like that stuff.
Nice. Yeah, that's
and that's real useful today, because yeah, we're going through some crazy stuff, and you might not think there's a lot of hope to pull together again. But if you go back through history, there's been some very similar times where we were really divided, and we ended up coming through it. So hopefully we can do it again here.
Yeah, it's been worse. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, and you put context into your songwriting as well too. I mean, that's cool. It comes through. It comes through. I mean, you and Jess have that in common. She sits and watches those archaeology behind the scenes things, and you know, now she's watching one about the Knights Templar. But before that, I'd sit in and join her watching stuff about the Egyptians. And I know that's a different, but it's still history. So that's cool.
I love that stuff too.
Very cool. And speaking of history and historical, you know, I mean, artists who have paved the way for artists like yourself and et cetera, you just recently did a duet with Georgette Jones, George Jones and Tammy Wynette's daughter, called Take Me. And you recorded that at Larry Beard Studios in Berry Hill, Tennessee, basically Nashville, Tennessee. That hit streaming services, I think, back in mid-November, I believe.
Yeah, it came out on November 13th, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. Excellent. So why don't you tell, I mean, that's a pretty big deal, man. And the song is beautiful. We're going to, we're actually going to play that here in a few. But how did that come together and what was that like?
Yeah, you glossed over that pretty quickly. That pedigree.
Yeah.
That's just mind-blowing there. So I'm excited to hear the story, yeah.
It was actually just a connection that I had through Liz Gregory. And she knew Tammy really well for a lot of years. But by the way, Liz Gregory, just for anyone listening who doesn't know, is my booking agent. Also Jessica's booking agent. And has been a talent buyer in Nashville and in the industry for a lot of years, and has worked and rubbed elbows with a lot of pretty big players. Anyways, she knew Tammy for a lot of years, had a connection with Georgette, and pretty much basically set this thing up for me. And I got to choose the song. I wanted to do a song that her parents had done together as a duet, but I didn't want to choose one that is like super well known. So I chose a song called Take Me. It's actually the first single that they recorded together as a married couple, George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And we redid it. And I think we did it justice. I kind of had to get it out of my head in the studio because, you know, you hear a song so many times, especially when you're practicing it leading up to a session, right? And it's hard to get the way that George Jones phrases it out of your head because he's had such a distinct voice. I mean, nobody can sing like that guy. So I kind of had to just knock that out of my brain and sing it like me. So it took a couple takes, but I think we did a pretty decent job.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's fan. Again, it's fantastic, and it's like it actually kind of it. You know, certain things happen that jog your memory, and when I listen to that, because we do. I mean, if you're going to give us your time. Believe me, we do the research. We go listen. And when I listened to the song, and I didn't just like listen to the first minute and go, okay, cool, I got it. I listened to the whole thing. And then I immediately was taken back to growing up, sitting in front of the television set going, wait a minute, what the hell happened? I completely forgot. It's like, here I am, you know, giving my wife hell when I first met her when we were dating about country music. And I remember sitting in front of the couch watching every episode of Hee Haw. The Mandrell sisters. And yeah. I don't know whether I blocked it out because I got so much into rock music or something. I don't know what the hell happened, but that song unlocked that key. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like a closet country guy and somehow it was suppressed. So that's what it did for me is it really brought me back. It made me think of that old school, but there was something about the production that made, I mean, so the song was familiar, obviously, but the production that was really clean and and the two of you just sound great together. What was it like working with her? Was it, were you nervous or was it just kind of like, she's just another human being? What was that like?
I mean, I was nervous just because that's just my nature. I'm kind of an introvert. So, I mean, it could have been Georgette Jones or anyone. If I'm in a new situation, I'm uncomfortable. Probably the exception to that is being on stage because I'm in complete control there. But it was neat. She's a sweetheart. She had all kinds of cool stories about her parents. She's not shy about talking about it. I think for her, the way she explained it, she didn't know the difference because that was just her life.
Right.
It wasn't George Jones. It was her daddy. you know, it wasn't Tammy Wynette, it was her mom. So,
right.
But all kinds of cool stories. And, you know, just the way she explained, you know, she didn't realize what she had until she was older.
Right.
And kind of had more context of the impact that they had on the industry. And it was just neat. It was neat. And, I know what you're talking about on the production. It's a very, I mean, it sounds like it was recorded in 1971, and those guys in the studio did an excellent job. And my favorite part of the whole song is that, that tremolo effect that the, guy that was playing the rhythm part on the Telecaster was using, that gives it that like late '60s, early '70s, just vibe to it. And it just kind of like echoes and like fills up all those, hollow spaces in that song and just makes it so retro. And it was very cool.
Was that something that, for the geeks out there, the musician geeks, guitar geeks, was that something that was done in post, or was that actually something that cat had on his pedal board?
He had it on his pedal board. That was done.
Wow.
When we tracked it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, because you know what you're describing, a lot of times when people want to have that retro sound, like for example, if you go to Abbey Road Studios over in London, you know, you get, they actually have the microphone, you know, the amps that the Beatles used. And so yeah. I mean, they're actually using whatever. So that's cool. That's very cool.
See, this is why I love these interviews too. I mean, I'm not a serious musician. I say I own a guitar, but I'm more a music fan. And I've listened to that song several times this week. And now hearing this, I just want to go back right after this interview now and listen to that song again. Just listen for those little specific things that you talk about there. Because I just know I love the song. I like the sound of it, the feel of it. But just listening to you talk about the tremolo on the guitar there and hearing Ray just talk about the production and that, just going back and listening to it within that context is kind of exciting for me as a fan. So,
well, awesome. Well, Mr. Cracky Fan Mule Train, I got some good news for you. You don't have to wait. We're going to listen to it right now.
Right on.
Right now. Okay. So, and we're going to come, don't worry, Houston, we're going to come back with more Mr. Robert Henry. And so right now, you just remind you, you are listening to Houston exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio. And this is a song called Take Me with Robert Henry and Georgette Jones.
Take me to your darkest room. Close every window and bolt every door. The very first moment I heard your voice, I'd be in darkness no more.
Take me to your most barren desert, 1,000 miles from the nearest sea. The very moment I saw your smile, it would be like heaven to me. There's not any mountain too rugged to climb, no desert too barren to cross. Darling, if you would just show a sign of love, I could bear with all. Take me to Siberia in the coldest weather of the winter time, and it would be just like spring in California, as long as I knew you were mine.
Yes, it would be just like spring in California, as long as I knew you were mine. Take me.
Hey, this is Robert Henry, and you're listening to Seattle Wave Radio.
All right, Cracky, are you happy now?
I am super happy.
Yes.
It makes all the difference, man. I listened to that. I still might listen again after this podcast.
Excellent. Well, and I just want to make sure that Robert knows, is just so you know, Robert, I can see the kind of concern in your eyes. Cracky, the things that you've probably seen about him stalking artists that he's interviewed, he did the time for the crime, so you don't have to worry about that.
All right.
But,
all right.
Anyway,
true, but that also means when you tour through the country, you come through Chicago where Cracky is based, you got a couch to crash on.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's true.
Dude, we might take you up on that, so be careful.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
It's a true story, Robert. No, seriously, we're very particular who we have conversations with, and he's not kidding. I can name the bands that have done that. Cracky's a good guy. So great song. Obviously, you've got three more fans here, and hopefully a lot of new fans coming out. So before we leave, why don't you tell our listening audience where they can find you and what you're up to now? What you're up to next?
So social media, we got at Robert Henry Music on Instagram. We have Robert Henry Band on Facebook. We got Robert Henry Music on YouTube. We got RobertHenryMusic.com, where you can pre-order a copy of the EP that we released in August on vinyl, if you're into that. We also have CDs for sale. We've got t-shirts. We've got beer koozies. We've got stickers. We got hats, all that kind of stuff. So, if you want to keep us rolling and on to the next show when we can play again, go check that stuff out. And we're on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon, all the streaming platforms under Robert Henry.
What about Patreon, Robert?
Patreon, we're actually rolling out a Patreon page this week. So be on the lookout for a post on that on the Robert Henry Band Facebook and our Instagram page.
Awesome. And for those of you out there who do not know what Patreon is a way that you can join for, there's a different levels of joining, but you can be part of the Robert Henry, you can be part of lifting up, and you get behind the scenes. You get to hear songs first, right? You get to see videos first. You get exclusive things only for artists. It's like buying a VIP ticket, going to see Floyd, right?
Yeah. And we're going to do different tiers. There's going to be like a $5 tier, a $10 tier, a $20 tier. I've actually got it all ready to rock and roll. I just haven't gone live yet because we need to just draft a post and roll it out on Monday. So, and we'll link to that on our website too. If anybody isn't really keen on Instagram and Facebook, you can also just go to RobertHenryMusic.com. We'll have that linked there too. If you want to become a subscriber, it's a monthly thing, but you do get access to behind the scenes content. I'll be sharing songs pretty much as I write them. So as soon as they're registered with BMI, I'll go ahead and play them on there for the subscribers. Live streams, country music history lessons for all you nerds out there, and all kinds of good content like that. So also first dibs on merch and discounts and stuff. So
nice. So you want to become a patron when this thing rolls out? You want to become a Patreon member? I mean, and it's for as little as $5. Are you kidding me? A month? It's a cup of coffee, and you get to be behind the scenes with Robert Henry. Okay, cool. So last question of the day, brother. Last question. It's a very important question. And thank you again, by the way, for taking time with us today.
Oh, thank you, man.
Any words of advice or anything you want to say to all your brothers and sisters out there in this music industry, not just the artists, but the gaffers and the sound guys and the light guys and the venue owners, whatever. Any words of advice or anything you want to say to your brothers and sisters right now?
We just got to hold on until stuff starts to normalize again. You know, like I said, I was lucky enough. I was one of the few people that got to do any touring this year. So, and it's kind of an anomaly because we were just in, you know, right in the middle of the country there. But yeah, just hang on, keep doing what you're doing, keep working the things like the Patreon, keep doing the live streams. There's no shame in having a virtual tip jar up, because if you do this full time, whether you're performing or whether you're just in the industry, this is our passion, and we're not going to quit. You know, some of us has had to take jobs on the side, but yeah, just hang in there, man. I mean, there's not really much to say because we've been pretty much shut down. So it's, let's come together so we can all get back to work.
Right. Well, no, those are good work. Again, it's kind of one of those together things. So anyway, thank you, Robert. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Houston exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the number one remote recording platform. All right, here's the deal. Robert, we're going to let you have the last word today. We're going to take everybody out with one more song by Robert Henry. This is called Canadian Border, and Robert set this up, and then we're going to play the song, and that's it.
So, Canadian Border. I wrote this. We were traveling north on Highway 97, going to a fair and rodeo to play for a couple nights in Okanagan, Washington, and we got pulled over, and we were about 50 miles from the Canadian border. Other than that, I'll let the audience and listener decide what else is true in the song, what else is fabricated. that's the beauty of songwriting.
Awesome. And here it is, Canadian border. We'll let you decide.
That show on time, up above that timber line. Pour some coffee, put that pedal to the floor. Too fast. Now that smoke is on my ass. That old state trooper turned right on a dime. Wasn't long before he pulled us over. Truck full of country pickers looking bad. He said, I know who you am. You're the Robert Henry Band. You got a show to make. I run blacker for you, man. Thank you. Put on one hell of a show. Some coffee, put that pedal to the floor.
With apologies to Junior Brown.
Thank you for tuning in to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. Keep an eye out for our next mission, where we interview and unveil behind-the-scenes aspects of some of your favorite artists. Houston, Seattle Wave Radio base here. Our podcast has landed.
Into a spin, whirl, whirl, twist and twirl, jump all around like a flying squirrel. Now don't you cuss and don't you swear, just come right out and form a square. Now right hand over and left hand under, both join hands and run like thunder, over the hill and over the dale, duck your head and lift your tail. Don't you stray and don't you roam, turn around and promenade home, corn in the crib and wheat in the sack, turn your partner, promenade back. Now you're home, bow to your partner, bow to the gent across the hall, and that is all.